Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Self is Necessary. Exploring and taking care of self is critical if you want to tap into all of your creative powers and manifest the life you were meant to experience today. You're here today with me, Mary Kay Weinhagen, and Delray Jean Vance of the Life Learning Center of Self. Delray is the visionary owner of the Life Learning Center of Self, and she's a life strategist and open channel who works with mind, body, and spirit. She does this by taking you through your stories so that you can begin to see where you broke from the truth. We're delighted you've joined us today. If you're on the web with us, feel free to type a message into the chat box. And if you're on the phone with us, you can raise your hand to speak with Delray by pressing the number 1. On Twitter and Facebook, we use the hashtag #SIN. You can listen and talk live with Delray every Wednesday at noon Central Time by going to blogtalkradio.com/selfisnecessary and feel free to interact with Delray over at her blog, Golden Words of Self. And you could come join us over at Facebook at our Facebook page, facebook.com/Life Learning Center of Self. Hi, Delray.
Hi, how are you today, Mary Kay?
I am wonderful, and it's funny because this is a call at noon. I mean, our show airs at Central Time, but you're not in Central Time anymore, are you? You're in Eastern Time.
No, I'm in Eastern Time.
Suddenly it's an afternoon.
It's an afternoon. And I have to be very careful because I am so used to being, like, done in the afternoon, and I have a couple hours downtime before we have a class that we're doing. And so I'm, like,
right. Like
having alarms all over so that I remember. No, you have to go do your talk radio show now.
Well, it already happened. It's now. I love it.
I love actually traveling, too. You know, I've said that before. So it's kind of cool having all these different kinds of routines, and yet we're doing the same kinds of things, you know. Kind of cool.
Right. Oh, I love it. One of the things that we're talking about today, are related to things you've been discussing in your blog lately. So, you know.
Uh-huh.
Even though you and I talked for a few minutes, we didn't talk about what we're going to talk about. So throw it at you. But really, you know, it's not unlike things we've discussed before and even in the recent past. But, you know, you're talking about the dance that we do here around, and how there is timing and sequencing. And
yes.
How we can, like, when we get off timing or out of sequence, everything feels really chaotic, and yet we can live in the midst of chaos, and if we're standing in the truth and we're using your tools and we're asking ourselves questions, it puts us in a place of taking action at the right time and not being trying to... Yeah, is that accurate? And not being controlling and trying to control the circumstances or people around us that we tend to do.
I know you're a psychology major, so I know you understand anyone that has been in a supreme trauma when they were very, very young really have major control issues. And part of that is because they had so much chaos in their world, and they didn't have guardians that they heard. I know for a fact, and everyone that gets to this place where I'm standing recognizes that they had guardians. The problem is we don't necessarily want to hear what a guardian has to say, because the guardian is the one that's kind of in that hard knocks area. So they're the ones that kind of say, yeah, but, you know, you have to look at the part you had to play in that. And sometimes when we're young, we want to push those people away from us because it kind of stings. What do you mean? I'm the one that got slapped. I'm the one that was, this happened. What do you mean? And if that younger person didn't say, what do you mean, and ask a question, because this is the major thing. Everybody knows about my place where I was sitting before I went into my really, really super good foster home, and I had been praying, and the person who people call Jesus came, and, you know, and where was I? I was looking at the moving cement sidewalk. And yet the main message I did get, I know, isn't that weird here, you know, but I was 14, what can I say? But the main message I got from that was, all you have to do is ask. That was the main message. And that person, Jesus, really didn't say a lot to me that day. You know, mm-hmm. He didn't give me a big lecture. He didn't do anything like that. He really just held out his hand. And all really truly that I remember from it all you have to do is ask. So I know that that's a pivotal place for each and every one of us. We've got to start asking why, what, when, and where. Now, we have to be careful with that first word, why. And I know you're asking about timing and sequence, but this is it. This is where it all begins. Because when something happens to you, it's at that moment that you're either going to ask questions and stay in your sequencing, which allows the timing to niggle at you and you go, oh, I have to do this now. And every one of us has had that niggle, get up and do this now, and yet we'll fight it. We'll fight picking up the phone. We'll fight walking to the sink to do the dishes. We'll fight taking our shower when it's out of what we would claim our timing. And this is part of the problem about getting yourself in a routine, because a routine gets you in a rut. And so when you get that niggle, you're not necessarily going to follow through. But it is right. In the questioning in the beginning when you have a physical experience, because you've made a decision. You've made a decision, so every choice that you make either supports that decision of your life change or it puts you back to square one. And you're starting again. And this is what is probably the most depleting to each and every one of us until we get those guardians, until we get those mentors who can, with empathy and deep love of the understanding of the walk, that guardian doesn't have to know you, but they do have to understand the walk itself. Do you understand what I just said?
I believe I do. And that doesn't mean they have to specifically know your stories.
Exactly. They may be somebody you're sitting on a bus bench next to, and you start to have a conversation out of the blue, and these pearls of wisdom comes out of the stranger's mouth, does not know that it has anything to do with you, doesn't know that it might be the very words that help you float your way back to the top. But if they have empathy for life itself, for the walk and how easily we can get pulled into the allure of the stories that play out there versus standing in the truth of, I've chosen every experience. And this is where the young people get lost, because they don't want to stand in, what do you mean I chose my mom to be pooey?
Sure.
What do you mean, you know, my dad beats me, or whatever the story is that we're telling ourselves at that moment. No one understands me. No, you're not understanding you, because you're not looking at the choices that you made at any given time. Yes, your father or your mother could have been mean to you, but there are ways of getting out of that. There are. And you know, through the time, and I know, Mary Kay, you know me for a long time, I've talked about even those infants, if they sit in the need from parents that aren't treating them well, if they truly sit in that need, they need change, somebody finds out about them. The babies are taken away. There's wonderful things that are going on each and every day with these little God beings, with us as God beings, because they made a choice different than the next God being next to them. So this is where we have to sit. Now you've made a choice. Now you have to look at the choice. And you've got to look at the choice from both sides, not just the good side and not just the bad side. You know, if you wake up and you're feeling sad about the scenario that you're living in, you've got to allow yourself to feel sad about that. But then you've mm-hmm. got to allow yourself the questioning of, you made the choice to be here. Why did you make the choice? What lessons was it that you wanted to learn? Are you still learning? The minute we go into that place, we're going to get back into the sequencing so that as the next opportunity for us to change that circumstance, we will be prepared. But so often we sit there and we do that prayer or that deep contemplation, and if we haven't gotten ourselves into sync that we are the power, we get to make the choice when the very next opportunity comes, and it always does. It'll come within 24 hours, people. Within 24 hours, the next opportunity comes. And so often, you will say no to it. And not only once. Not only once will you say no to it. You say no to it again and again and again. Because you don't feel you have the strength to take that very next step. You're going to feel sad. You're going to feel sad for the other person. How can you do that? But see, if you are already questioning that experience that you had that said, I'm not happy, you would have already asked all those questions. You already all have an idea of what it is that you have the strength to do when that opportunity comes so you can go, I can't do that. But I could do this. And you'll be surprised how that opportunity will go, well, I can help you with that. Poof, your life starts to change.
Okay.
But that's so how we stay in sequencing and timing. Go ahead.
So we've got to be willing to just keep asking those questions then, right?
Yes.
Because we want to stop
the other part is, please understand, you've got to be willing to hear the answers.
Well, there, yep.
Because the answer is going to have an action step to it. The true answer, any answer you get, is going to have an action step that goes with it. That's how you know you've been asking the right questions. If you are asking questions and it just pops in another question, and you don't answer that question and then ask a question off of that, you're putting yourself on that loop that we talk about. You have mm-hmm. to be willing to hear the real answer, because most of the time that real answer scares you more than anything that you can think of. And so that's the one that you need to go to. And then you have to take it. And some of us, you know, some of us can just go, okay, we can leap out of that airplane, knowing that that parachute was packed right, knowing that when you pull that ripcord, the parachute's going to come out and you're going to land in a roll and not hurt anything.
Yeah, that gets dodgy for a lot of us.
Because most of us, in some way or another, have been traumatized when we were little and we want to be in control. And as long as you're in control, you're not going to be able to see the opportunities, and you're not going to be able to jump out of that airplane knowing that parachute's going to open up and you're going to go in a roll. Very few of us can land on our feet without breaking our ankles. So when you're going to jump out of that airplane, you got to learn how to roll.
Right.
And, you know, we've heard that, roll with the punches.
Yeah. Well, and that's a great analogy, because that speaks of that point where, I mean, I could feel it in myself. You trust that that parachute was packed right. And I think for any of us that, which is most of us, that have had any kind of traumatic experience, we feel like somebody didn't pack the parachute right. But
exactly.
But
when we go back, we realize we were the one in charge of packing. And that's
right.
The part we have to feeling good about, that we made choices that didn't support you, the God being. We didn't.
Okay.
We made choices because we felt our parents just wouldn't leave us alone if we didn't make that choice to do what they wanted, or friends, or other family members, or a boss, or, you know, we can go down the line. But that's really where it goes to. We don't trust ourselves in making the right choices, because we haven't made the right choices for ourselves for so very long.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you're in chaos. And that's why you don't know what your sequencing is, because you haven't taken the time to re-love yourself and re-teach yourself to trust your own heart.
And so, would it be correct to say that the process of asking yourself questions long enough until you really get that answer, that is, you know,
yes,
that answer that inspires you to take an action that's in the truth,
right,
is part of the building internal trust in yourself?
Yes, because when you are doing this asking, because I can hear people go, well, how do I know? Oh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you've gotten to the step that really is the perfect one for you. And in the beginning, those are the ones that scare the bejesus out of you. And you're like, oh, no, but you know. And that's where you want to go. You really want to go, but I know. And then when you know, and if you don't think you can do it yourself, you've got to ask for help. And this is what, this is that physical experience. Ask somebody to help you. Don't think you're all alone. You know, I've been sharing with a lot of people recently. Would you please share your stories? You've got
right
to share your side of the story. It's the only way people are going to recognize that you need physical support. And that doesn't mean financially. It just means having somebody to talk to on the phone.
Sure.
Or somebody who has a car and can drive you to the doctor, or, you know, all the little gammy things that go on. We've got to stop telling ourselves in this physical world we can do it ourselves. What we really have to know we can do ourselves is make the right choice and know when to ask for physical help. Because we came here to be physical. So we did come here to learn how to be this magnificent God being with the joy and the experiences of another physical God being as they're in their own lessons and their walk, and not take their walk personally. You know me, how I watch television shows and then how I write my blogs off of television shows and how I use them. Well, right now I'm watching Scandal, and I'm amazed at how people talk to each other. It's just blowing me away how
what's
people
that?
Are, how they talk so fast, and they use guilt and manipulation, and how they will deteriorate someone else's character so they get their own way instead of listening to the truth.
Sure,
I see that a lot. How when they're stung, when they've been told the truth and a person is stung, how they go for the jugular on the other person instead of going, oh, wow, that
yeah
sure hit to home. And maybe this is what we need to start talking about. When you get hit like that, don't leap out and start screaming at that other person and put all their garbage on the table, because you asked for this interplay to teach you about yourself so you can get back in your own timing. So you can get back in that creative flow just for yourself. You set that up. And this is where we've got to learn that our choices and every physical experience that we have, we've asked to participate in. This is where our accountability comes from. We have to be accountable that we were the one that said, okay, universe, I need to have this opinion. This story has to be shook so hard that I can let go of it. You know how I use resins when I burn, you know,
sure,
my incense. And so I have these little charcoals and I put them in sand. And the sand gets really hard underneath when the charcoal heats up. And that's
right
what our story's like. It's really hard, but, you know, as the sand starts to cool and I'll play with it, it'll all go back to the tiny little greens. So then it's back to the whole complete of the sand, beachy, whatever you want to call it. But for a while, it's
right
really stuck together. And if we can see that that's all a story is, it's just been like forged in a high heat, as it, those CN particles, they can be separated and you can make a new story. And it doesn't have to be, oh, woe is me.
Right. It could be a much better story.
It can be a much better story. It can be that, oh, woe is me, was my leaping place to find out that I am one with the universe and that I can create the most magnificent life, and I can create and have most magnificent people in my life, and I'm not going to lose anything. I don't have to go onto the mountaintop and be all by myself to have peace and harmony. I can be in the midst of the chaos and still have that peace.
And just hold that peace and let it, let it move you through. Well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this stuff, because I think it's really important and valuable that we recognize, you know, the process of building that internal trust in yourself comes from staying on it. You know, like you use the phrase, pull up the bootstraps, start asking questions, evaluate the experience you just had so that you can gain what you need to gain in truth from it, not so that you can make up a story.
Well, the story that we've made up is that happened to us and that we didn't have any choice in the matter. And right there, there's magical words in there. Because of the choice we made, we created matter. Yes, you had the choice. And that's the thing that people have to understand. You did have a choice. And because of the choice you made, it became matter. And in that physical matter, you had an experience. You can undo those physical experiences as easily as you made them in the first place. You just have to take stock that it is you. That's the first thing you do. And then when you have a physical experience, like we said, you start questioning yourself. And you have to love yourself with and deep, deep empathy, but you have to learn to tell yourself the truth. Oh, yeah, I could have responded differently when, and I'm using my famous name, George.
Yeah.
When George said that to me, I could have gone, ooh, that hurt my feelings. But it didn't have anything to really do with what George just said. So I'm going to have to go back and find out why that hurt my feelings, because my natural inclination would have been to roar at George and then start throwing things out there at George that had nothing to do with the fact that my heart hurt for a little bit. And so I got tweaked about something that, a choice that I'd made about myself. And I was holding it as though it was somebody else's fault. That's the only way you can be triggered. You've made a choice. And you're holding someone else accountable, and you're feeling guilty about it. Now, I know a lot of people are going to jump on that one, aren't they, Mary Kay?
Yes.
But we're trying to get people to recognize you are having those feels. You are knowing when you're not standing in the universal truth. Universal truth, when you come to that place, it gives you a physical step to take. You're going to feel the endorphins run through your body, which makes you feel happy, which makes you feel peaceful. It doesn't necessarily make you feel courageous yet, but you will go, okay, I can see a way out of this.
Absolutely.
And when you're not standing in the truth, all you have is anger and rage, and you want to blame someone else. So if you're blaming someone else while you're questioning, no, you are not standing in universal truth. The universal truth is, you are the God being that is creating every expression that you are experiencing in this physical earth.
Right. And we really need to watch for that. Don't think you're so cagey that you're not blaming something or someone else. And I only share this from my own personal experience because I was pretty confident that I was not blaming anyone else. Life was not happening to me. I'm not a victim of circumstances, you know, all that funny thing. And as I've learned to question myself better and I've learned to get more honest and be more truthful, even the questions themselves can shift. So it can take you out of that denial that you're holding somebody else accountable for a choice you made, you know, and instead you start asking yourself, where am I blocking myself from seeing more choices? You know,
absolutely.
Because part of my thing was, you know, the choices I could see seemed so limited. And, yeah, I could imagine they were limited by, I don't know, the country I live in, the people I associate with, something outside of me. But the fact of the matter is I was blocking myself to, you know, 398 or 358 choices when there's 360 of them sitting there. You know, using the analogy of a circle and going, and finally reached a point where I could say, oh, what am I afraid of? What am I keeping between me and those other possible choices I could make that I think I only had this choice? There was no other choice. You know, I was in conversation with somebody last night. I wish I could bring up the specifics, but he made such a strong statement about, that's not opinion, this is the truth. You know, one of those. And going, this just is so. It's not my opinion. So strongly that it was like, oh, I think you got some opinion in there. Because you don't really need to be that intensely strong if it's just so. And there's no opinion about it. You just don't have that intensity.
Yeah, you don't have any attachments, and that's really the word that we have to look at. He had an attachment to having you have an understanding about what he was saying or what you were saying, and he wasn't open to the possibilities that there are other ways to look at that. So, and that's what's so limiting. It's that kind of concepting and that kind of thought processes that gets us to feel like we don't have a choice. And, you know, like I've heard so many people tell me they're backed up against the wall or they're backed in the corner, and you know my answer to that. If you're backed up against a wall, you have 180 degrees, 180 different choices. You don't like those choices, but they're still available. And the more you start looking at the fact, oh, well, I don't like that choice, then you can question yourself, why? It's a choice of change. Why don't I like it? Which allows you freedom. Or when you're backed in a corner. Corners are what? 90, 70, 45-degree angle?
Right.
There we go.
Right.
We got 90 choices, 70 choices, 45-degree choices. Even if it's only 2 degrees, that's still more than one choice. And do not limit yourself. Challenge yourself on why those two choices that have been brought to you are not valid. It's in that. It's in that challenging that you're going to find out where your greatest fear is. Once you pull your fear out and start looking at that and put that in the light of day, then you can start seeing, oh, these are why I haven't been choosing me, why I've been choosing everybody else, simply because of this. And when we bring it out to the light, it doesn't seem to be half as bad, and we feel kind of foolish.
Right.
We feel foolish that we've waited this long when we find out what it is that we've really been afraid of. And that's where I say wear it with honor and integrity and learn to have humor and know you're not going to be able to laugh about it right while it's happening, but very shortly you'll be able to laugh at yourself and go, I know, but this is what I was afraid of and it prevented me from doing this. And universe, please bring it back as fast as you can bring it back. And that's why I'm reminding everybody, 24 hours. It will come to you in 24 hours.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much. We're down to under a minute now.
Okay.
But that
you guys have a wonderful day.
And that it will come back to you in 24 hours. So we just need to let that be exciting, because that is exciting. That enhances the fact that we are at choice, and then we get to experience and evaluate that experience and be confronted with more choices again.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Mary
Kay.
Talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.